I had a friend that was coming from New Jersey to Pennsylvania, and they were on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and they stopped, and his wife was sleeping in the back. They had a station wagon, and she was curled up in the back. And when they stopped at a rest area, he went in, and she was in the car, and he came out and jumped in the car and drove. He drove for 3 hours or more or whatever. She got out of the thing at that rest stop, and he forgot his wife. And they stopped him at the where he had to pay the toll and said, "Sir, you forgot something." "What?" "Your wife. She's back there waiting for you." They did reconnect. So if my friend could forget his wife, I can forget a phrase or two. Now, today we're continuing our study in Daniel. And this book, as we go through it, and as I've gone through it over the last few weeks, and you've known this, it's chocked full of nuggets. Nuggets of truth, and it's got some exciting things that happen. We know that Daniel and his compadres, his compatriots, were taken over to Babylon from Israel. We know that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and there was this giant statue, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And today we talk about the fiery furnace. I thought of getting Pearl Bailey on here singing about the fiery furnace. She does a good job at it, but I thought I probably wouldn't do that today. She used to, how many know who Pearl Bailey is? Yes, I see the young people have not raised their hands, okay. So we'll learn about the fiery furnace today, and then the writing on the wall, the den of lions, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel's dream of four beasts, of rams, the rams and goats, Daniel's prayer and visions that he has, the political matters that God was involved in, the end times at the last chapter of the book. So be faithful this week and read ahead two or three chapters so you get a gist of what's going on. We know that in the first chapter, we learned that even though you're in the world does not need to be in you. We learned that as we stay true to the word and God's word, we'll find favor with God and others that we come in contact with. So we look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, and Thomas is going to be my reader today. He'll come in just a moment. I'm going to give you a little preview, but come on up, Thomas, he's all prepared. Good. In this chapter, Daniel is not mentioned at all. We hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were 15 or 20 years of age when they were taken captive and when they went to Babylon. And they were faithful to God in all things. They would not eat that food that wasn't correct for their spiritual beliefs. So Thomas will read chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. My friend, come ahead.
Nebuchadnezzar the king made in image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who would deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up."
We left the good part out. It's toward the end. We'll get there, I promise. So this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, built this image. It was 9 feet wide and 90 feet tall. Seems out of proportion, but we don't know what the image was. We don't know if it was the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream that we looked at last time. We don't know if it was an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself or if it was an image of their god named Bel. We don't know, but it doesn't matter. We'll get through it without knowing that. But we see that it was like musical chairs. When the music played, you walk and you pray or you kneel immediately where you're at. And we see that in some Muslim countries now when they have that tower in the middle of the city and they announce that it's prayer time, boom, they're down. I've seen people who have stopped even along the interstate on a prayer rug, and you see them beside the car, and they're praying toward the east on their hands and knees. We know that they had to hear the music, and then they would stop. If not, it's the fiery furnace for you. But we know that these young guys Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these young men knew and were trained so well in the first 15 or 16 years of their lives, they knew that they could not do that. They could not bow down. And here's why. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 5. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. We're not going to do it because it'll be breaking the second commandments. And we adhere to those 10 commandments. We don't break those commandments. We hold on to them. And they're part of our life. They're part of our being. Now, believe it or not, I think there are times for civil disobedience. Don't throw your hymn book at me or that pew Bible. There are valid times for civil disobedience. And I'm not wanting to stir up an uprising here in Brookville. When man's laws come in direct opposition to God's laws, when we know what is right and what is true and what is the right thing to do, we need to do it. No matter what the outcome in our lives. Now, if we look at the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 15 through 20, Pharaoh said, we're getting too many of these Hebrews. And he said to the midwives, whenever it comes time for these children to be born, Let me read it. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, says this. Chapter 1. He spoke to the Hebrew midwives. Can you see him getting in a clutch with these women? Of whom the name of one was Shiprah, S-H-I-P-H-R-A-H. And the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, it is a son. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to these civil disobedient women, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And here's what they said. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Okay, a little bit of a, well, I don't know. God knows the need. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, sounds ominous, and the people multiplied and grew they mighty. It was amazing. Here was some civil disobedience. We're not going to do this. This is against what we know is right. Peter and John, in Acts chapter 5, were ordered not to preach the gospel. And they said, we've got to answer to a higher word than you people. And they continued to preach. Now in Daniel chapter 3, and I'm going to be going back and forth here a lot, verse 15 and 16, here's what we read. If you are ready, and this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music. I don't know why he had to keep repeating it. Every time he got together, he's had to name those all those people. We like those people that play those things. But you musicians, I would just say, you can do this. You fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery place. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. This is an important part of our message today. It's an important part of the message God has for you. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You have nothing to do with this. We don't have to listen to you. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We don't have to listen to you, these guys said. If any of you have children, name one of them Shadrach, Meshach, or maybe Abednego. No, you can go back to their Hebrew names. That would be wonderful. We had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in here. It would be a great thing in this church, in the community. Their reaction teaches us a very important thing, or two very important things. It teaches us about faith. Faith is trust, it is confidence, and a firm reliance upon God. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust him. We're going to rely upon him for our every need. Now, there's saving faith. There's three types of faith, and the first one is saving faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's that saving faith, when we're born again. And then there is the gift of faith. If we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a whole passel of spiritual gifts that are listed. And one of those spiritual gifts is the gift of faith. Now, there are people that I'll speak to and we'll be talking, and they have that gift of faith. Oh, Pastor, don't worry. I just hate to get with those people. They cause me to wonder about my faith. But they have that gift of faith. We'll see it through. We'll see great things happen. We'll see God working, and we've got to forge ahead, believing that God will work. And then there's that trusting faith that I just read about in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. It's true faith, and that faith says to us, our God is able. Our God is able. Those young men probably put us all to shame. Many times, they know that our God is able. Now, our faith should be in God's ability and not in what we want to receive. We can know that God is able. And we can pray. James chapter 4, verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we have this verse. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing, this is great, that last part of that verse. There is nothing too hard for you. Praise the Lord. Nothing too hard for you. So we can have faith in God, not faith in what the results will be. It's not our will that needs to be done. And I defer everything to God. It's God's will. He knows much better than us what needs to be done. Now, there's a certain aspect of the Christian community that have this, just name it, take stronger stand when you pray, and whatever you do, you name it and you claim it. Any of you ever heard anyone pray that way? Name it and claim it. And that's, you know, it's out there. And someone said to me once on my second term here, this is my third term, on my second term, it sounds like you've been in prison. I had a stretch of so many years, you know. Be bolder and name it and claim it. And I said, what? That's going to get you in trouble. They said, we have kingdom authority. We're the children of God. We're adopted into the family of God. We are the children of God, and we only need to ask, and we shall receive. Well, I didn't go along with that. I said, isn't it strange that in the Lord's Prayer, it says what? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we want God's will to be done. We don't name it and claim it. We want God's will to be accomplished. In the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, Christ said, let this cup pass from me. But Father, let thy will be done. I'm telling you, Christ was praying and said, I know it's a rough deal coming up, and I want things to go easy for me. I would rather that this didn't happen, but he said, let thy will be done. Knowing what was coming, God's got it in his hands. When I was at Toccoa Falls, we would go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night at the church in Toccoa. And there was an old couple, and I got in between them. I didn't mean to get in between them, but I got in between them. I was 37, had hair, and, you know, just the waist was there. And I got in between them, and I hear Brother Sterneman praying, and he said, and we were praying for salvation for folks, and he said, whatever you do, Lord, whatever it takes, if it has to be rough, it has to be rough. Just speak to their hearts so they'll be saved. Even if they get run over by a truck, let them be saved. I heard him say that. And his wife was on the other side of me, and she said, Lord, save them easy. Don't let them be hit by a truck. I was chuckling in between there. Don't let them be hit by a truck. We want things to go easy. You and I know that it's not always that way. There are days when, times when God says, yes, we like that. There are times when God says, no, and we don't like that. And there are times when God says, not yet. Be patient. Let my will be done. We've got to adopt that, the attitude that God is in control. He knows what he's doing. Believe it or not, he knows what he's doing. How in the world can he keep us all straight? All the people all over the world, he knows all about us. It's impossible for us, but for him, all things are possible. Isn't it great to be a Christian? It's great to know that. So now God shows up, and I'll read Daniel 3, 24 through 30. It's not going to be on the screen because Thomas isn't ready for that. I don't know. Thomas surprises me sometimes, but I'm not going to be. He says, no, no, no. God says no. Thomas says no. I listen. Okay. So we see verses 24 through 30. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. They're not saying too much. They're not missing words. True, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amazing. They're walking around in there. They're not huddled in some corner of this fire, but they're walking around. Now, this, just a little bit of a interruption here. This is a Christophany. It's kind of big theological word. It's a Christophany. It's Christ making his appearance in Old Testament times. After all, he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he made these little sly, I don't want to say sly on the evil side, but he made these little adventures, you know, wrestling with a fellow and all that kind of thing. But he showed up. Okay, let me finish reading. Or it could also be a theophany. Okay, I'm going to get off that. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Here's the good part. One of the good parts. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar says about this. He speaks, saying, blessed be this guy. This happened about 20 years after his vision and his dream. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So he makes a decree. Every now and then, God speaks to the heart of this guy, Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll go through this and we'll see. This guy, we would say he's a knucklehead, but I think we're probably going to see him when we get to heaven. I think we will. And we'll discuss that as time goes on. Here's what he says. With a kind heart. No, not a kind heart. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, okay, with a loving heart. We're going to cut you in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Isn't that fun? Just think, if I went up on the street of Brookville, drag me with a net if you see me saying, God is going to cut you people in pieces, burn your houses down, take your children. No, our God is a loving God. That's not the way to evangelize. It really isn't. And then these guys who just disobeyed him, the last verse of that section, verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, they got a raise. They're up there in the whole situation. Now, you and I know that God could have given a free pass to those boys. He could have given them a free pass and say, just go home. Nebuchadnezzar could have, just don't listen to them. Stay in the house. When you hear the symphony playing, when you hear Malia playing that song, run in the house and hide. Nope. God says, you're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to go through it. Now, you know, as well as me, that I focus a lot on all my 9 bypasses. How many stents? 2. You ought to know it. I speak it every week. 9 bypasses, 2 stents, and now my own little pacemaker covered in a bandage that I can swim in the pool. It just keeps me safe. I'm glad that God allowed me to go through the fire. And it is a fire when you have to get your chest cut open twice. I can tell the story with my eyes closed. And I say, and people say, oh, you've gone through a lot. And I say, God showed his favor toward me. God showed his favor toward me. We go through rough times. We go through difficult times. My dear friend Virginia, sitting right there. Virginia, I'm talking about you. Virginia has gone through a lot of rough times, but is always faithful. Because God is always faithful and God is able. Amen? Amen. And I finish with this. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Thanks for paying attention. This is kind of an exciting thing. That ends chapter 3. Chapter 4 next week, and Malia and the symphony can come and sing our closing song.